The Church, in her wisdom, sets out weekly readings from the Gospels. These readings allow us to follow the life and teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ and the story of our salvation. Upper Room Media presents to you the weekly Sunday homily delivered from Sydney, Australia.
Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. The Gospel that we hear today is one of the famous Gospels of the I Am sayings. In this particular one, Christ says, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. And it's a long gospel that only we just read a snippet from. So I'm going to read part of it again, just to make it incredibly clear for us all. It says, the Jews then complained about him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Joseph, the son of Joseph, Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I have come down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said to themselves, do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last days. And then he goes on in verse 47. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the world. Then the Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh? How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus continues, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. The words are remarkable. They're remarkable. He then continues a little bit more later on in verse 16. It says, therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? Does this offend you? And then it says, at that point, many started to leave him. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? They're truly remarkable words. Truly remarkable words. Words that we need to pay a lot of attention to. Because they stand at the center of what the resurrection is. That Christ comes to give us his life. We heard just now, Christ is risen from the dead, trampling down death by his death, bestowing life to those in the tombs. But what is this life? How does he give us this life? Here he tells us exactly. I am the bread of life. I have come down from heaven. And then notice it says that the Jews begin to grumble. Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph? Is this not the man that is a son of a carpenter, a woodworker? Is this not the man from Galilee that we know well? How can he be the living bread? How can he be the bread that comes from heaven to give us life? And Jesus tells them, your fathers ate the manna and are dead. But I am the living bread, and the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Why does Christ at this point talk about the living manna? We have to go all the way back to the Old Testament to understand what he's talking about here and why they started to grumble and what was the concern. As you may or may not know, there was a period where the people of Israel, after they had left Egypt, after the plagues, they had left Egypt and they were walking around in the desert. And as they were in the desert, they began to grumble. They were hungry. They were sick of the food that they had. They started to run out of food. And so it says then, God says to them, I will then perform a miracle for you. In Exodus 16. It says, behold, I will rain down bread from heaven today for you. And there was in the wilderness a fine, flake-like thing, fine as hoarfrost on the ground. When the sons of Israel saw it, they said to one another, what is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, it is the bread that the Lord has given you. That bread is called, was later called the manna, which comes from the Hebrew words manhu. What is it? Literally, the word man is, what is it? They had never seen anything like it. They'd never even tasted anything like it. It was a bread that was like wafers made with honey. A supernatural bread that came down from heaven. And there was later on in Jewish expectation this idea that one day the Messiah would return, and with him would return this manna from heaven. This bread that would come down from heaven, that without it they would die. That they were starving in the wilderness, they were hungry in the wilderness, and unless this manna came to them, they would die. Now Christ comes and says to them, I am the bread of life that has come down from heaven. And you hear then again the exact same words. The people grumble. Just as they grumbled in the wilderness, they grumble again. Just as they didn't know what it was, again they grumble, who is this? We do not know him. They didn't know what the bread was. Again, they don't know what the bread was. And they say to him, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus responds with these words. I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. He says, this is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. Incredibly strange words. Incredibly strange words. But Christ does not shy away from these words. In fact, he adds to them. He says, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I'll raise him up. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. Notice something. The word that he uses for eats is not a simple, very luxurious, eloquent style of eating that you see people in fine dining restaurants, where it's very gentle eating. The word he uses for it is true, trogon, a word which means to feed, just as animals would feed on a carcass, as they would chew on bones and meat. So Christ is telling them, unless you feed on my flesh and my blood, which I give to humanity, you don't have my life in you. That somehow my life that is bestowed to you is by you eating my flesh, drinking my blood. These are words which are very, very difficult to understand. And it was difficult for them to understand. If we think it's hard for us, they themselves said, this is a hard saying. It wasn't the people saying this. The disciples said this. This is a hard saying. Who can understand it? It's an offensive saying. The disciples now grumble. And this isn't just the shock of cannibalism. This is more than that. In Judaism, there was Jewish taboo around drinking blood. In Leviticus, it's very clear. No one shall drink the blood of an animal, for that is its life. And yet he's eating human flesh. In Judaism, if you were even in an apartment building and happened to be sticking out from your veranda while there was a funeral procession, you would contract ritual impurity because you had overshadowed a coffin. What then if you ate a dead corpse? Ate flesh. And so there was shock. They found it scandalous. And when they say to him, but this is a hard saying, who can understand it? He says to them, does this offend you? The word in Greek is, does this scandalize you? Does this scandalize you? And so because of this, you sometimes hear these ideas that Jesus, he was talking in a symbolic fashion. That somehow his words were meant to be taken in a figurative way, not in a literal way. But if that was the case, why does he say, does this offend you? When they said to him, but Lord, this is too hard. Shouldn't he have said like he did before? Oh guys, you misunderstand me. I'm not talking about physical eating. I'm talking in a very symbolic way, in a spiritual way. There's no eating at all. But he doesn't do that. Elsewhere, in Matthew 16, when he said to them, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. The disciples became confused. They said, but we didn't bring any bread. And then he turned around and said to them, don't be confused. I didn't speak about bread. So he corrected them when they were confused. He should have corrected them, but he doesn't. He says, does this offend you? Does this offend you? And then it says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. The crowds that just before, when he fed the 50,000, when they wanted to make him king, all disappeared. The disciples himself started to walk away from him. People that were following him started to walk away from him. Jesus had done so many things, yet this was too shocking. This had gone over the line. This has crossed the line. And then you would think at this point, when he started to see his disciples walking away from him, he would say, please, everyone, you've misunderstood me. Let me explain. But he doesn't. He then turns and looks every one of the 12 in the eyes and says to them, do you also want to go away? And he says it in the plural in Greek. Do you all want to go away? Because if you cannot handle and accept these words that I'm saying to you, then you cannot have my life in you. There was no negotiation, there's no persuasion, there's no suggestion, there's no explanation. Christ is very clear here. Very clear. Do you also want to go away? That is how non-negotiable Christ's understanding of the Eucharist that we partake of every Sunday is. That his life is being given to us. The reason it's not negotiable is if you do not have communion with that life, then you do not have communion with life. You have communion with something else. And this was something that Christ was trying to make clear to them, to understand. You know, even the reference in Leviticus that refers to why you cannot drink the blood of an animal. You know, in Judaism it was prohibited to drink the blood of an animal. This is the reference in Leviticus 17. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. So the blood could only be used for sacrifice, not for eating or for drinking. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. Therefore I said to the children of Israel, no one among you shall eat blood, nor shall any stranger who dwells among you eat blood. Why? Because to commune in the blood of an animal was to commune in the life of an animal that is dead, an animal that is transient, an animal that does not survive, an animal that is not God. And so he tells us, if you want my life in you, then you have to partake of me, eat my flesh and drink my blood, because this is the way that my life, which is eternal life, is in you. You know, when God created Adam originally, and he breathes into his face, it doesn't say that he gave him some arbitrary life, that he gave him some disconnected form of life, some created form of life. It says that he breathes into his face and gives him his life. He breathes his own life. Man then goes and separates himself from that life. Adam goes and tries to become God by himself. All of humanity since then tries to find its own source of life, until Christ comes and reconnects us once more with the only source of life. Communion with anything else is death. That's why St. Paul, when he's talking to the people about who they were trying to buy meat at a cheaper rate. Meat was very expensive in the time of the first century in Corinth, in Greece. And so the people would go and buy meat that was offered to idols, that wasn't used because it was cheaper after the sacrifices. And it became a very contentious topic. And then St. Paul is very clear to them. The meat itself has no issue. But if you are communing or sharing in their worship to get this meat, then it is very problematic. And he says to them, St. Paul says to them, the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons, animals, to demons, not to God. And I do not want you to have communion with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. Because it's communion. It's communion. And we may not offer sacrifices to demons today, but we do something very similar. We commune with things that are not from God. We commune in social media. We commune in our addictions, in our lusts. We commune in food or whatever it may be, trying to take our source of life from it. Is it any wonder then that we have communion with that thing that we commune with? If eating flesh that is offered to demons somehow makes me commune with them, if, as St. Paul says later on, even those that sleep with harlots, he says, do you not know that you become one flesh with that harlot? If communing with Christ makes us one with Him, then whatever we commune with makes us one with it. That's why if you ever have the experience of dealing with somebody in addiction, whatever they're communing with becomes part of them. If you're dealing with someone who's addicted with ice, you speak to them, they'll tell you, it's like the ice is in me. It's like there's something in me that is consuming it. And if I don't feed it, I can't survive. It's why you find somebody who may be addicted to lust or any kind of sexual addiction. He says, it's like there's a demon in me that without it, I can't survive. That a husband who is otherwise a great father and a great husband with gambling, all of a sudden loses himself, will lose his house, will lose his children, will lose his wife, will lose his career, will lose his business. Because he's communed with something. And that thing now is dwelling within him. Christ is telling us, commune only in my life, in nothing else. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has my life in him. I abide in him, he abides in me. So the question that we should all be asking ourselves, and ask myself first, what do I have communion with? Whose blood is running through me? Whose life is in me? And let us all, if we hear those words from our Lord, do you also want to go away? Say like the disciples to him, Lord, where would we go? You have the words of life. Glory be to God forevermore. Amen.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart. And we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.